Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Herminia Ibarra is the Cora Chaired Professor of Leadership and Learning at INSEAD and the founding director of the Leadership Transition Executive Education Program, also at INSEAD. She ranks number 9 on the Thinkers 50 Most Influential Business Gurus in the World and is on HR Magazine's list of the top 20 most influential international thinkers. She is the author of Working Identity, Unconventional Strategies for Reinventing Your Career. And her latest book, which we're going to talk about today, is Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader. Herminia, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Let's just jump in here. We interview an awful lot of thought leaders, an awful lot of authors, obviously on the subjects of leadership. But you take a different tack in your book on the topic. I'm interested in how you see it from a different angle. Why is conventional wisdom about what it takes to develop leadership, why is that wrong? In your mind, why is it wrong?
Well, you know, the conventional wisdom changes every few years, or at least every
flavor
decade.
Of the month,
so,
right?
So it goes back and forth. And over the last decade, what we've seen is a real focus on introspection. And so people are told, if you want to develop your leadership, figure out first who you are, what are your strengths and weaknesses, be really clear about who you want to become, what's your image of the ideal leader you want to be, and then kind of work from there. And what I have found is that that just really doesn't work for people, because the more you introspect and the more you think about it, the more you're kind of anchored on the past and what you've done and who you've been and what's made you successful. And frankly, when it comes to stepping up into a bigger leadership role, you're just unprepared. There's nothing in your past that you can excavate that's going to help you figure out how you might be in that role. And so there's no substitute for acting your way into it, experimenting. And each step you take actually alters your idea of the kind of leader you want to be.
So way too much introspection.
Way too much introspection.
Next question on the subject, I guess, of getting outside is, what is a word you have here? What is outsight, and why is it such an important skill for today's business environment?
Yeah, so outsight is a term I coined to contrast insight, which is what you get out of introspection and turning inwards. Outsight is just the opposite. It's the external perspective and you almost insight that you get from doing new things, interacting with new people, getting involved in different kinds of activities. And that helps you start to form your point of view about what's relevant, about how what you do connects to things that other people care about how what you do connects to what's happening in your external environment. And those are really the only things that help you figure out how to be a more strategic leader, how to set direction, how to be persuasive with stakeholders who have different ideas than you do.
What do you say to somebody who says, I have to stay focused on the job at hand? I have to stay focused on what's happening here in the company, on the factory floor, in the marketing department, whatever. I don't have the luxury of looking outside or, you know, having this outside thing. What do you tell people who come to you with that argument?
You'll make yourself irrelevant very, very quickly. You know, most people actually realize that they're overly focused on the urgent and on the operational and on the immediate. And, you know, one of the biggest comments that I get from, especially from my executive education participants, is I'd love to have more time to think. I'd love to be able to carve out some time to view what I'm doing a bit more strategically, but they're caught in that kind of grind. So they realize that they have to find a way out of it. They just don't know quite how.
What are some of the biggest challenges that professionals face when they're transitioning into a new role? They're moving from one place in their professional life to another.
Yeah, so over the last 10 years, watching people go through this, it's pretty clear that there's three of them that come up over and over again for almost everybody. The first is how you approach your job. And we've talked about that a little bit already. Most people approach it way too operationally and focus most of their time on what they're really good at and have been good at based on their past experience. And they need to transition to a more strategic approach to their job and to an approach where they're not just executing and delivering, but they're actually asking questions. What should we be doing? What's happening outside? How's the world changing? That should lead us to change what it is that we do and kind of drive that change. The second challenge is that, and people usually don't realize this until it's kind of late, is how do you get out of a cozy little circle of kind of usual suspects that you talk to for gossip, for information, for advice? Most people's networks are really limited, and they do not realize how much that limits their mindset and their perspective and their ideas about what's possible and avenues that they might pursue that might be more fulfilling for them. So they have to find a way, despite the lack of time, to branch out and start talking to people outside their usual routine. And the third challenge is that most of us have leadership styles or management styles that are kind of limited. You know, they work in some contexts and they don't work in others, and we all have our little fatal flaws. We micromanage, we're not good with people, all of those kinds of things. And as you step up to a bigger leadership role, the how you do what you do becomes even more important. And so you've got to work on those things, and most people have a hard time motivating themselves to actually tackle those.
Herminia, based upon your observations and your research, what are the attributes of team leaders? What's the sort of the makeup of the archetype of team leaders who deliver, who consistently deliver the best results?
Yeah. And, you know, on this one, I've observed it in the people I've studied, but there's lots of other research from different people that supports it. It's also counter to the common wisdom. The best team leaders don't spend all their time with the team helping to structure it, helping to coach people, helping to motivate people. They actually, the best team leaders really position themselves as a kind of a boundary spanner or a bridge between their team and the rest of the organization, or between their team and the outside environment. And so part of what they're doing is selling what's happening in the team, pitching it to stakeholders who control resources, getting buzz out about what the team is doing, managing its reputation, bringing into the team key talent from the outside, making sure key talent on the team later gets placed in good things. So it's really managing the flow of important things
in and
out.
It's almost like PR or liaison, you know, type
stuff.
It's
liaison. It's not just PR. You know, a lot of it has to do with access to resources, mm-hmm. you know, visibility, money, funding, sponsorship from senior managers. It's not just liaison.
What strategy should a leader follow when building an effective network? We talked a little bit about networks before and the danger of too small of a network, but in terms of building an effective network, what would be your advice?
There's three things here as well. You need a network that is, I call it the BCDs of networking. It needs to be broad, it needs to be connective, and it needs to be dynamic. So broad in the sense of, you know, it can't just be people like you, went to the same school, had the same professional training, do the same kind of function. It really needs to be broad so that you can get perspective, very different kinds of people, different levels of the organization, inside, outside. It needs to be connective in the sense that our relationships aren't just one-on-one relationships, they're doorways to different worlds. That's how, you know, on LinkedIn, we try to connect to people who can connect us to other people. But if your network is all kind of inbred and made up of people like you, mm-hmm. you don't have that connective power, because, you know, I talk to you who talks to Katie, who then comes back to me, and it doesn't really kind of branch out and get you those degrees. Yeah. And the last one is dynamism. We often tend to kind of hang on to the people we like who've been good sources of advice, and we're changing jobs, we're still talking to the same people, and so your network really has to grow with you as well.
Last question, are there particular challenges that women face when tasked with acting like a leader?
Yeah. So it's the same three challenges. How do you expand your job, grow your network, and really revamp your style and the way you see yourself? But for women, it becomes more complicated when they are working in a context that is fairly male-dominated in terms of the numbers of senior people and also in terms of the culture. What happens is the way you learn these things is by observing who's successful, observing role models, and adapting some of that to yourself. And so what women do, they look up and they see people who they don't want to be like. Anyway, if they led like they did, it wouldn't work out for them as effectively. And so because those role models are lacking, and also there's, you know, there's gender bias, implicit, unconscious, we don't mean it, but we don't code the same behavior the same way when it's coming from a man and from a woman. And so that kind of slows that learning process. And what often happens is that women can get a little bit more stuck in that authenticity paradox, because since what they see doesn't seem to suit them, they'll say, well, I just got to be myself, which is great, but as long as that doesn't keep you from growing and stretching and trying new and different things.
Mm-hmm. We've been speaking to Herminia Ibarra. She's the author of a great new book entitled Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader. Herminia, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.